John Carlson on the phone from Los Angeles again?
Carlson?
He's from Apple Computer's ad agency. They want to do a commercial about us.
Would we get to be in the commercial?
No, because we can't do it.
Why not?
Over the past 15 months, we've doubled our productivity. We've cut development time by a third.
That's what I mean.
Why would we go on national TV and tell our competition exactly how we did it?
It's a good point.
Hello, and welcome to the Cult Cafe Past 30 Plus Minute Op Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. Joining me today, he's my only guy. He's the only guy that actually shows up to work at Cultimac anymore. Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey, it's really great to be here all alone.
And thank God you're here. Because otherwise it would be just me again.
Yeah.
What is going on? You gotta break out that car antenna, whip these nads into shape around the office. I'm telling you, what's going on over there, Lewis?
Gonna have to force Buster to get a permanent address and a USB-C cable.
Yeah, well, let's start with the USB-C cable first.
Yeah, two incredible hard things to come by. We're also going to have to get Leander to fully awaken from his jet lag.
So he's
back
he just
in town.
Got back.
He finally got back, but then he discovered he had a little task he had to do related to his book.
Yeah, so what was that task? Because I didn't understand. He said that they were making him write the book. He's like, they sent me this big check like 7 or 8 months ago, and then they're expecting me to do all this work, and I'm like, I didn't sign up for this. I just wanted the money.
I just spent the money. I guess he has to do an index now, which...
What does that even mean? I don't know.
You don't know what an index is?
Well,
you
index know? Sounds like a list of sources in the back of a book.
Yeah, is that, all that garbage.
That's all he needs to do. He hasn't been doing that as he wrote the actual book. Isn't that kind of what you do when you're writing a book, is you keep track of your sources?
I thought maybe they did it. I don't know.
Why would they do an index for his book?
Because it, you know... There's software that manages that kind of thing and stuff, right? I don't know that he, I don't know that he uses any kind of sophisticated software beyond Pages or something like that.
He probably is using Pages to write his book. You're probably right. There's probably all this great book writing software out there that he just completely ignores. So yeah, Leander had to work on his book. Buster's excuse was even better. I asked him, I'm like, hey, you coming on the show today, man? This is going to be a great show. By the way, we have a great show lined up for you. I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about in a second. He's like, oh, dude, I don't have a USB cable for my mic, dude. I know it's been a whole week, but I haven't bought one yet, dude, because I've been sitting in a hot, exotic spring all week, totally nude with all my nude friends, and haven't been able to find a Best Buy. I actually envy him.
It's certainly a lifestyle.
I'm going to ask him to add a bunk bed to the back of his van so I can move in.
You want to be on top?
That's
or bottom?
Why I'm so salty. Because I want to live with Buster. I mean, did you see the picture he posted on Instagram of him just sitting there nude in the hot spring? I'm like, this guy's living my dream.
I did not see this.
I want to be nude in the hot spring. Instead, I just have to run naked through my backyard, which my neighbors are not happy about.
He's not even wearing any, cut off jean shorts like the Never Nudes.
I think they are under the water, yeah. But the water is so blue and exotic.
I
went to a hot spring once. Man, I know we got an Apple show here to do, but let me just tell this story because it might entertain you. I went to a hot spring once in high school, And we hiked up this mountain. It was real snowy. We got to the hot springs, and I get into my swimming trunks, and I go in. And then my friend and his girlfriend just get in buck naked in high school. You know, it's like, we're like 18 years old. When you know, the idea of seeing your friends naked is still a little bit weird. And it's kind of a shallow pool, so you can kind of see everything happening. And he's like, getting up, and it's not a very big spring. So when he gets up, his butt cheeks are just like right in my face.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there thinking, dude, get some swim trunks on and get those beautiful, very muscular cheeks out of my face.
Wow.
Golly. Sometimes I still think about those cheeks at night, and they just make me very mad. All right. Do you want to talk about some Apple stuff?
Ooh, no. Let's just keep talking about hot springs.
I'm just saying, it's weird to see your 18-year-old friend's man butt cheeks in your face at that age. It's something that you don't want to see till later in life.
I could do without it at all points.
Actually, even later in life, it's weird. I used
just,
to... Let me take one more story, and then we'll do some Apple stuff, no. I swear. So in college, I had an eBay business. That's how I put myself through college. And I would sell stuff on eBay, so I would ship stuff out all the time, right? The mailman was constantly coming to my house. His name was Deck. Huge, huge, strapping man. He was probably 60, but he was in impeccable shape. I mean, cut. He could probably do the peck bounce like Terry Crews. And I would see this guy all the time. So I went to my gym one day. I used to go into the steam room all the time after I worked out. And I walked in, and as the door opened, the light spread through the room. And I look right in front of me, and there is Deck, butt naked, sitting there in the steam. The steam parts, and he looks up at me, and I look down at him. And it's too late to turn back. It's too late to turn back. We know who each other are. So I have to go into the steam room and sit there next to my 100% nude mailman for like 30 minutes and have the most awkward conversation of my life. And after that particular incident, we didn't make eye contact for like 6 months afterwards. He would show up to my door and he'd be like, I'm just here for your package, you know? I'm like, and he's like, oh, no, not that package. I mean, your mail, sir, your mail. And he would just look down at the ground. I would hand it to him bashfully and then he would take it and scurry off.
This is sad. This is much sadder beginning to this episode than I expected.
We've already lost half our audience. Okay, let's before we dive into the Apple stories, of which there are numerous. And by the way, here's what we're talking about this show. 3D Touch. I know some of you don't want to hear this. It's dead. Dead, y'all. And I think this might be true. We'll talk about this. And we'll talk about the health tracking AirPods that are rumored for the first half of 2019. The health tracking AirPods. What are they going to do for your health? Well, that's the question. Also, I don't know if y'all have heard about this, the MacBook Pro stage light issue, which is a repair that could cost you up to $600. And I'm not sure how common this is, but iFixit is saying that this affects every single MacBook Pro. This flaw affects every single MacBook Pro since 2016 and has the potential to be a huge, huge, rampant issue for everyone that has bought a MacBook Pro. Thank you to everyone who reached out to me this week with this story, including Jeremy Edwards, who tweeted this at me. And I was like, was this Jeremy Edwards? No, he was the movie pass story. We're also going to wrap up with an all new movie pass story because the saga continues, my friends. They're not dead yet. I know you thought they were several times. I did too, but they're still going strong. They got a whole new plan to give you unlimited movies we'll talk about the price in just a second. Before we dive into the show, let me say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. It's 2019. Do you have a business that you're starting? Maybe you are a college student. You're getting ready to sell your skill set to the world. There's so many reasons why people need a website. In fact, I think most people need a website for some reason or another. Maybe you want to showcase your artwork or your photography. Maybe you want to start a blog. Maybe you want to sell a product. You can do all of those things at Squarespace. I've been using Squarespace for, I don't even know now, 3 or 4 years. I pay for it every single month just because I like it so much. I have two different websites. I have one for the Cultcast show notes, which is the cultcast.com. Also for the Cult Cloth, one of the finest products in the entire world of technology. The cultcloth.co is where you can check those out. And so I'm using the Cultcast website to host show notes, host the player, and then I'm using the cultcloth.co website to actually sell a product. And Squarespace has all that functionality built in, and it could not be easier to build a website. You just press a few buttons, configure everything via their drag and drop systems. And if you want, you can have a website up in 2 minutes, or you can really dive in, customize absolutely everything, make it look uniquely yours. Check it out, squarespace.com/cultcast if you're in need of a website, and use the code cultcast at checkout. When you decide to purchase service, you'll save 10% off your first purchase. And if you order a year of service, you'll get an additional discount and you will get a free domain name, squarespace.com/cultcast. Okay, Lewis, let's start with 3D Touch being dead. Done. How does this make you feel?
Very sad because I like that feature and I feel like I haven't even fully used it to its its best advantage just yet.
Well, I think that you're in the same boat as many people. Everyone thinks, wow, that feature sounds cool, but I never use it, which I think might be why Apple is thinking about just getting rid of it. I mean, if no one's using it, now I'm going to get heat on this from people on Twitter. I know. there are people out there that love it. And I hear from those people every time we talk about 3D Touch. But Apple apparently is looking at this from a cost perspective, right? They need to save some money. Lewis.
Yeah.
You still there?
Yeah, I thought you were taking a pause and then it...
Oh, no. I was handing it back to you. I don't want to take your story. That'd be weird. You're doing the story and then I just take it. But they're trying to save money, right? That's why they're doing this.
I mean, basically, they're talking about just getting rid of that layer in the display, right? That allows it to happen. That's what they did with the iPhone XR. It already doesn't have 3D touch. It's been replaced with haptic touch.
Which works really well. Have you tried it?
You know, I don't have an XR.
I know. You got the new best phone.
10R, excuse me. Yeah. I keep forgetting how to say the...
I'm not going to judge you. You say it whichever way you'd like.
These product names, man, they kill me. They just kill me.
Wait till they add a decimal point. It's going to be like the 10R.2, the iPhone XS.max.4.
Yeah, never been a big fan of Roman numerals. Anyway, that's what they're saying is that they're going to just get rid of it. And I guess the reason is because it costs a lot and also... people don't use it that much, and developers haven't done that much with it. So, I don't know. It's kind of weird, right? I mean, this is one of the problems that they have, is when they start building these devices that have different capabilities, hardware capabilities, like iPad versus iPhone, and iPhone with 3D Touch versus – or not 3D Touch – Touch ID versus Face ID, right? You start building these things different ways. Suddenly you got to, you know, kind of support all these different ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do something with 3D Touch on only certain devices, well, it can't be something that crucial, right? I mean, it's kind of a weird situation to be in. And when did they start using 3D Touch? I don't remember off the top of my head.
We're going to embarrass ourselves now. Wasn't it iPhone 6?
I think it was 6S.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I mean, I guess that's been around for a while. It should have had enough to take off. But even then, you know, I mean, there are still people who had a 6. There are still people who had an SE. I don't think the SE had 3D Touch. So you have to make the apps work with or without it, right? So I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm making more out of that than what it is. But I mean, I'm still every day, not every day, but every week probably I discover something new that I can do with 3D Touch I should have checked this out before, you know? I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's a pretty useful feature, and it kind of bums me out if it's going away. Although, you know, maybe you can fill me in on how haptic touch compares to it.
I'd be happy to. And you know what I just realized? I'm sitting here pushing you to do the story. This is my story. Why didn't you slap me around? Here I am trying to make you do it.
You know, I'm just that polite.
I'm like, Lewis, come on. Tell me what the story is. Yeah, it's my story. Yeah, thanks, idiot. Yeah, so let me continue my own story, which I'm trying to push onto you. Yeah, I have the iPhone XR, which many of you probably know. I love it, and I don't miss 3D Touch at all. I haven't had a single instance where I have tried to use it on my phone and said, uh-oh, I don't have this feature anymore. And I'll tell you what, haptic touch, if you told me the XR had 3D touch, I don't know if I would be able to tell the difference. It's that good. Because you just have to hold your finger in the areas on the phone which employ haptic touch, because it's not available everywhere. It's strategically used throughout the phone. And in the places where it is used, you touch your finger down and it just works. Poof. It works just like 3D touch does. It works in the same timing interval, I think. You just don't have to press, which I actually had to train myself to stop doing. And so I don't miss it at all, but I also wasn't a heavy 3D touch user. I didn't really ever find it to be something that I used on different app icons. I know you can like press down on the Instagram app and it will give you shortcuts into the app itself. I found it to be just as efficient to just open the app and then go to the place in the app where I need to go.
It sure isn't, though. I mean,
is it not? Okay, you know, maybe I just didn't train myself to use it.
I mean, it depends on the app, right? I mean, and part of the reason that it has never taken off, I think, is a lot of app developers do crappy things with it. I mean, to this day, well, I don't know about to this day, but I mean, oftentimes one of the things in there is share. You know, because like they want to promote their app, right? And so you you tap that and it's like, oh, now you can send the app to somebody else or send a notification, you know. And so, I mean, there are things like that that make it just seem stupid. But
yeah,
but things like, I mean, I discovered this just in the last day or so. Like if you've got, do you ever use folders on your iOS home screen?
No. No.
See, oh, I do
I do. Yeah.
Sorry. So, you know, you put like 10 apps in one thing, right? And then it groups the notifications. So you might have like I do right now, 5,540 notifications. And if you 3D touch on that folder, it pops up a list of the notifications so you can see what those are from. One of those is from reminders and the rest are from the mail app.
I don't think I have ever kept apps with notifications in a folder. Really? I guess it's the way that I organize them. I keep apps that I use every day on my front page, and then things that I use occasionally and folders on my second page, but I never have apps that notify me of stuff in a folder. Huh. We can do a whole episode on app folder storage philosophy.
Right, right. I wish somebody could, give me a better one because mine's not very good. But, especially when you start having like 10 notifications in one folder and you're like, oh, geez, what are they, right?
Yeah, right.
It's, like this one. I've got a video folder right there on my home screen.
Mm-hmm.
All I got to do is 3D touch on it. Oh, one's from YouTube, one's from Netflix. Two notifications.
You got a notification from Netflix?
Yeah.
For what?
I don't know.
Probably. Hey, don't forget to come watch a show here.
Yeah, probably. I should probably turn those off. I don't really need that kind of garbage.
I go through and I don't let most apps bug me. There's only a few apps I let bother me, and the rest I'm like, yeah, no. I'll tell you when I want your attention, not the other way around.
Probably Netflix. A wise move.
Yeah. Save yourself some distraction throughout your day. Okay, let me finish off the story real fast. So this is not the first time we've heard rumors that Apple is going to pull 3D Touch. A Wall Street Journal article compiled several rumors about the iPhone, about the next iPhone, and they said they were considering trimming functions in the 2019 iPhones to cut costs. That's an interesting reason to do it. That includes cutting the Force Touch module. Last year, analyst Ming-Chi Kuo predicted that no iPhone coming in 2019 will have this feature. And then his assertion was echoed months later by an analyst from Barclays who probably just wanted to gain some notoriety. So just basically copied Ming-Chi Kuo and didn't do any of his own research. It would be interesting if Apple were doing this to cut costs. It would be more interesting if they were doing it to cut the price. Because if they cut costs, they're going to increase their revenue, which I can understand. Although it still seems like an extreme move to increase your own revenue and your own profit margin. I should say your profit margin, but to lower prices. Now that is interesting. That says that people are not buying enough iPhones and Apple's trying to figure out what they can do to lower the cost so that they can sell more iPhones. I think we talked about this last week. I don't want to beat a dead horse here. We've reached peak iPhone price threshold. I think, I mean, they're just so expensive. I don't think the Apple could raise the price any more than they already have and have people still take them seriously.
Yeah, it is definitely pretty high.
Pretty high. Yeah, if they raise it anymore, you're going to have to be high to consider buying one of these. Although I do love my iPhone XR. I really do. I really do love it. You know, the iPhone XR gets a lot of crap, even though I think it's probably Apple's best-selling phone. And Tim Cook even said it's their best-selling model. And it's an outstanding phone, especially for the price. I mean, the camera on the iPhone XR, it's just phenomenal. Phenomenal. Okay, I've already talked about this before. I don't want to repeat myself. Let's talk about AirPods, Lewis. I'll let you have this one since this is actually your story.
Oh, it's got my name right there by it.
I put it right there so I would know.
Yeah, it's a good tip off. Yeah, so new AirPods supposedly coming first half of 2019. And one of the big changes is health tracking features,
mm-hmm.
supposedly on their way, according to a new report from Digitimes. You know, trust this if you will, but they're not the first or only time we've heard this, so it's just more like more confirmation that this is probably coming down the pike sooner rather than later. It's going to be interesting to see what exactly kind of health tracking features they're going to add. Apple's filed patents before, covering earbuds with sensors, built-in sensors that can monitor heart rate and even take your temperature, which is
that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Weird. If it took your temperature.
Yeah, I mean, do we need that? I don't know. Maybe. Don't know. I guess why not?
Why not? Just pack some stuff in there. We need a new model. We got to figure out what the features are going to be. Let's just pack some stuff in there and see if it actually sells. But the heart rate monitor stuff, I think, would be really popular.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I've heard people say, oh, well, why would they want to add that? It's already on Apple Watch. Well, you know, some people don't have Apple Watches.
Exactly. Dude, I was just thinking that same thing.
It was like the oddest argument against it I ever heard.
I have to admit, though, I kind of had that same thought when I first read this. I said, oh, they're duplicating features across these devices. I mean, the Apple Watch already does this. But then I thought to myself, every time I say, hey, Siri, I've got like six things in the Colt Command Center that light up and start paying attention to me. I mean, they all do the same thing. It's actually kind of interesting. I would love to talk to somebody at Apple about how they figured out which device is going to start listening to you. Because when I say that, my HomePods turn on, my Apple Watch turns on. I have my Mac turned off, but it would turn on. And then my iPhone turned on. I should bring my laptop in here and I can have like a whole conversation with all these devices. Because everything turns on and starts paying attention to you. And I'm like, how do they know which one I'm talking to?
Yeah, it's supposed to.
And actually, sometimes they don't.
I was going to say, it's not 100% bulletproof. But in fact, I mean, that's one of my wife's big complaints is a lot of times she tries to use that on her phone or her watch. And the HomePod has such, I mean, my God, the HomePod is so amazing with its ability to hear that and react. Mm-hmm. But it's so amazing that it is almost annoying. But, you know, here's a tip if you're having this problem on your own. The one thing that you can do to, like, get your phone to be the one that you interact with, if that's what you're wanting to use, right? Because it's got a lot more capabilities than HomePod. If you lift that up and talk to it immediately, that takes precedence.
Do you have to say the activation words, the magic words?
Yeah, you still got to say that. But if you, I can't remember how exactly Apple phrases it, but it basically boils down to if you make a motion and bring it up to your face and, you know, light up the phone and then say, hey, Siri, it's going to use the phone rather than going to the HomePod.
Have you noticed that on your Apple Watch when you raise it, because it's supposed to have raise to speak, and you're not supposed to have to use the activation words. It never works for me. It just turns off. I raise it and it just ignores me, just turns off.
Yeah. This is another tip for that. You know, the key, and it's kind of awkward. The key is to bring it right up to your mouth and talk immediately.
Oh, so you got to bring it up to your face.
Yeah. Like,
because normally I just look at it in front of me.
I don't know if it's like a proximity sensor or what, but Leander hipped me to this. I mean, it works a lot more consistently. It's still not 100%, but it works a lot more consistently if you, again, do a kind of exaggerated motion, bring it straight up to your mouth and talk immediately right into it. It's a little bit like you know, remember the original watch? Like a lot of the complaints were like, oh, it's what I want out of a watch. I want to be able to tell the time. But the problem is like, you know, you raise to activate and it doesn't raise, right? Or it doesn't activate, especially with the older one. It's much better now than it was. But
oh, it's not even in the same category. It's not even the same universe. You and I should really do a whole, I want to do a cult cast, either a mini episode or a second hour where we just talk about our Apple Watches. Because it seems like you really like yours too, don't you?
Oh yeah, I do.
I love my Apple Watch.
I can't imagine. You know, all these people are like, oh, I don't know, I don't want one, or what is it good for?
It's that was me. That was me. And that was a striking impression of me too, complaining about it. I really disliked, the more I owned the original Apple Watch, the more I felt like I had purchased a beta product. And I was really frustrated that it didn't work the way it was supposed to. It was laggy. And that Apple basically sold me a product that they had never planned on actually finishing. I felt like the original Apple Watch was never finished. It was an unfinished product. And then I get the Series 4 and I was like, wow, wee. Oh my, what a difference. It's striking what a difference it is. I love my Series 4. And it probably became my favorite gadget of 2018, right when I got it.
Yeah.
Maybe a week in.
Yeah.
We should do a whole episode about the things that we love about our Apple Watch, you know?
Sure. Start taking notes now.
Leads, right? I mean, people want to hear what you don't like, but maybe we can be a little bit positive and let's talk about the things that we do like, because we clearly love Apple for many reasons. But, you know, it's just so easy to criticize the things that break your heart. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then steal your money.
steal your damned money for a watch that doesn't work. Okay. Do we finish the story? Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about AirPod sales, really, do we? I mean, the only other thing I think is of interest in this thing is, you know, I mean, AirPods a big hit, for sure. They're talking about maybe not this year, but maybe next year, there might be a full-on redesign. And that's when they're talking about maybe adding features like noise cancellation, which I would love.
That would be cool.
Although I don't know that there's a tight enough fit for that, really. So, but if they could pull that off, make Hey Siri work, just, you know, be always on listening as opposed to having to tap your ear or whatever you do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, those things would be awesome.
I also like shorter stems.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the one thing about the design that always was to me kind of amazing, like, I don't know, it's the length of the stem. I think it's the fact that the stem doesn't taper. Because they look.
You want them to look like these weird little spikes, like high heel shoe spikes?
Even if they just tapered like a tenth of a percent, or I mean, a 10% taper. I don't know. The fact of the matter is, I mean, I thought they looked weird as could be when I first saw them. Now I'm just totally used to it. And I see people all the time wearing them everywhere. Saw people all over Europe wearing them everywhere, all the time. And why wouldn't you? I mean, they're, you know, this is another product I full on love. So,
you know, I see them everywhere too, but it doesn't sit right with me. It's like when I see a guy wearing dress shoes and baggy jeans. I'm like,
See, that doesn't bother me because I see that in the mirror.
I see that every time I look down. I'm like, you're wearing dress shoes with baggy jeans. You might as well be wearing a short turtleneck with a blazer over it too. In fact, that completes the look. It's like, hey, I just left the time machine from the 80s and I'm here to party. You know, like that's the look that you have.
Sounds good.
That's what I feel like when I see the AirPods, and I'm wearing them. So I also feel great shame when I see somebody else.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've gotten over it. I don't know. I haven't seen as many people wearing them that look like, you know, remember when they first came out and there are all those pictures of the dorks with them, you know, and wearing them wrong and, you know, schlubby looking dudes and, you know. Those pictures were not exactly nice, but all their marketing shots always look good. They always look good on, you know, athletes.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know. I've gone the other way now. When I see somebody with big long wires hanging out of their ears, that to me looks weird. And by the way, that is weird and also cumbersome. I mean.
Yeah, for sure. There's nothing more freeing than getting rid of that wire and just having the AirPods in your ears. And it's one of the best pieces of technology Apple has ever made, in my experience.
Yeah, and
it's one of the best purchases I've ever made, for sure.
Yeah, and oddly, not as expensive as you might expect. I mean, honestly, for the product that it is, and the way Apple prices stuff, you'd have thought they'd be like $300.
Well, now you can get them for $130. I routinely see them on sale for as low as $130.
Yeah, I know.
I think I paid $180 for mine with tax and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not even mad.
I know you can get, you know, cheaper wireless things, but I don't know. To me, the price on them is pretty good. And I guess that's the one bad thing about these this health tracking thing. They're saying that they might jack up the price of the AirPods. I think that'd be a mistake because, you know, it's a pretty sweet price point right now.
I agree, and I think it would be a mistake too, but you know that's what they're going to do. That's their new strategy.
Yeah.
They're going to, instead of... I'm gonna tiptoe at the edge, at the fringe of this full-on rant, okay? I'm not going to go into it, though. Instead of releasing a new version of the product and retiring the old product and selling the new product for the same price, Apple maintains the price point on the old product and then just raises the price of the new product. That is their new business plan, and I really, really, really don't like it. And that's all I have to say about that. Okay.
I won't egg you on.
Please don't. You already tried to trigger me earlier and we're running low on time. So no one wants to hear me rant about this stuff. They really don't. Let's see here. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about this MacBook Pro stage light flaw, this $600 repair. And then we'll move on to our MoviePass news. So I didn't really think much of this story when I first saw it because we see this kind of thing all the time. You know, people are always scrutinizing Apple. They want to find, they want to nitpick every little thing that's wrong. But the more I started reading about this, the more I thought, okay, this actually has some teeth. And the story goes like this. According to iFixit, and iFixit is a organization that I trust. We've had Kyle Weens on the show before. Real straight shooter, that Kyle Weens. Very pro-consumer. Mm-hmm. According to them, every MacBook Pro since 2016 has a design flaw that will inevitably require an expensive repair, up to $600 or $700. The problem supposedly lies in a delicate ribbon cable that connects the screen of your MacBook Pro to the display controller inside the main laptop body. Opening and closing the laptop causes the cable to wear out, and it seems like a lot of these cables are going bad just right about when the warranty expires. So people are going in and Apple saying, well, you opened your laptop too far. Like you overextended it, which, by the way, how do you even do that? I mean, it has like a stopping point, right? You literally cannot open it too far. And so they're having to pay for this ridiculous expense. So Taylor Dixon from iFixit, he goes on to say this about the problem. Quote, the current generation of MacBook Pro laptops, which is 2016 to present day, uses flexible ribbon cables to connect the display to a display controller board beneath the touch bar. These cables wrap over the board where they're secured by a pair of spring-loaded covers, and they're subjected to the stress of bending with every open and close of the laptop. Within a seemingly short amount of time, these cables are starting to fatigue and tear. Well, that's what I just said. What the heck? Why did I read that? Department of Redundancy Department. The first to fail, or the first obvious part that you'll notice when it starts to fail is creates like this stage light issue. So if you look at the bottom of your laptop screen, it looks like there's a bunch of spotlights shooting upwards. So it creates this, you know, what is effectively what looks like a stage light effect. And this problem apparently also affects the new MacBook Airs since it has the same design. And these thin ribbons are part of the screen. And even though it's only a $6 part to repair, because of the way it's designed, you can't just repair that part. You have to repair the entire screen, which is why this is such a big deal. So you put this out there. You take into consideration the keyboard issues too, which I was telling Lewis before we started recording. You know, the 2018 MacBook Pros, the jury's still out on whether they've actually prevented the keyboard issues that they've had on the 2016, 2017 laptops. I think eventually it's going to have the same problems. This silicon layer that they put beneath the keyboard, I think it's only a matter of time before it fails. So I'm waiting to see what happens with that. And you add that to this problem now, and you're like, what is going on at Apple?
I don't know. I just wonder how prevalent these problems really are. And
that's always,
you know,
what it comes
like
down
you're
to.
Talking about that keyboard, right? I mean, there've been a lot of people complaining about it, but I've yet to really run into anybody who has the problem. And you know, I would say that fix that they put in, like, okay, well, if only a tiny fraction of people have a problem with the keyboard and they put in a silicone thing, yeah, okay, maybe one in a million might rupture or something. But then, you know, that's like even a smaller fraction of people, right? I mean, mm-hmm. That one to me, I mean, while that problem would definitely be a nightmare if it happened to you and you were in a mission critical situation, I mean, no question, that would be annoying as can be. That to me seems like they've probably addressed it. Now, this new thing, I mean, I don't know, how many hundreds of people are experiencing this problem? Is it really a problem that, you know, some really large percentage of people are going to have? Or is it something that just, you know, one out of, you know, 50,000 laptops is going to experience this problem and they'll just replace it for them? I mean, I don't know. I think Apple's repair policies have been pretty liberal. And I think if they actually produce something that's going to be that widespread, I think they'll do right by people. That's just my guess. My interactions with Apple have been such that I would think that they would probably take care of you.
Well, I hope so. There has been a petition for Apple to launch an extended warranty program to address this issue by Apple repairman come YouTube celebrity Lewis Rossman, who many of you probably know. Man, you can get famous on YouTube doing anything these days. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this guy, he's a repair guy who works in his own repair shop in New York, and the guy has earned fame by just highlighting problems with Apple products. I mean, he's clearly like an electronical, I don't know if he's a genius or an expert. I mean, he fixes stuff and down to like a chip level where he's like soldering chips on the motherboard to fix problems. Like you take your laptop in there and he's like, oh, I just need to replace this chip. But very smart guy. I have a lot of respect for him. I think what he does is important. You got to keep companies honest. And so he created a change.org petition that I signed. And I think it had like 8,000, 9,000 signatures by the time I signed it. So I will put a link to this in the show notes. And I encourage everyone, just sign it. I mean, let's keep Apple honest, right? If you end up having this problem down the road, you'll have a recourse without having to pay for this $600 to $700 repair. And you know, that's the scary part about this problem. We don't know how prevalent it is, but from the way iFixit describes it, all the computers built since, well, the MacBook Pros specifically, built since 2016 have this design flaw, and they say it will inevitably require a repair, which makes me think, okay, well, clearly not everyone's going to have this issue. I mean, my laptop pretty much just remains open. I'm not opening and closing it throughout the day a lot, so maybe I won't, but I want to have the warm and fuzzy feeling knowing that Apple will take care of me if I do. Also, we have a small army. I don't know if you know this, Lewis. We have a small army of Apple genii that listen to this show, because they've reached out to me, many of them on Twitter, and I just want to say to all of my genii out there, is that the plural for genius? Genii? I don't know.
Sounds like a good
guess. Sounds right, doesn't it? My Apple genii. And I was trying to figure out, why are all of our Apple fans geniuses? It's because they sit and fix stuff all day, so they're just listening to podcasts. They actually have time to listen to podcasts.
Huh.
So if I said something wrong, if I have misdiagnosed this problem, if this problem isn't prevalent and you think I've gotten it wrong, I welcome your feedback. Hit me up on Twitter. My DMs are wide open and I would love to hear from you guys. I always love hearing from you guys. And if you want to toss a few Apple, you know, rumors my way, then that's fine too. I'd love to hear from you guys. Give me the inside scoop. Help me serve the Apple community. In fact, why don't more people send us like the Mark Gurman level tips, Lewis? That's what we need. We need to get our feelers out there. We need to get some hot tips so we can break some stories wide open. How do you feel about that?
Love to have that kind of stuff.
Wouldn't that be great? We could break that stuff on the show.
Absolutely.
We got to figure out how to do that. We'll keep your name out of the press. You won't be in the lights. We'll be very discreet. We'll set up some encrypted method. I mean, what's that app that everyone uses? Signal? I'll set up a Signal. I'll keep the hackers out. I'll keep you protected. You'll feel like you're in the witness protection program, and I'll be your agent. You just pass me the tips, and I'll distribute those tips, you know, to hundreds of thousands of people. Okay. That's it for this story. Let's wrap up with MoviePass.
Oh, my God.
This is the song that never ends.
it's the gift that keeps on giving, man.
I keep waiting for Falcor to show up and rescue me, because this is the never-ending story. But you know what? I actually want to see MoviePass succeed. I give them a lot of crap because they're running things real wild and loose over there at MoviePass. But you know what? I like them. I like those guys at MoviePass. I'm going on record. They're trying to make a new business model, and it seems like they might have finally found one that will allow them to stay solvent, which is always good when you're in business. I think their stock price is trading at like 2 cents right now from a previous high of $150 a share or something like that. It's almost like my Apple stock that I bought right before it crashed. So this month, MoviePass has introduced a new series of plans, which vary in price depending on your location. So quick recap of where we have been. They launched MoviePass has been around for years, and they were really expensive. It was like $50, $60, $70, $100 a month for unlimited movies. And then they went wild, and like John LeGere from T-Mobile, they just threw caution to the wind, and they decided to drop their price to $10 a month for unlimited movies, which was when I signed on immediately, and I started talking about MoviePass on the show a lot because I was like, there's no way this can last. They are literally giving away money. Get on board while you can and see as many movies as you can, which is what I did, which was a great time. It made for a very enjoyable 2018. Well, of course, they almost went out of business like five times. and their business model switched from charging a monthly subscription fee to let you see unlimited movies to only seeing select movies 3 times a month and only movies that they chose for you. And then also selling t-shirts and sending emails to people selling other products that have nothing to do with MoviePass whatsoever. So they are trying to be less disruptive. I think their new CEO said, I think this was their CEO, and focus more on providing a valuable business or a valuable business proposition to consumers. So they're going to have, they have some new plans that are available now that you may have heard of. They have a $9.95 monthly plan that allows you to see 3 movies per month at some point during their theatrical run. This plan has been selected or christened the Select Plan. And then they have a more expensive plan called the Red Carpet Plan, which is $20 a month, which lets you see any 3 movies of your choosing, but it also lets you see IMAX, 3D, and other premium formats because the Select Plan is just 2D movies. But in major cities like Seattle, I'm sure San Francisco, Lewis, yeah, they're going to raise the price of those plans, and they could cost anywhere from $14.95 a month to $25 or $24.95 for the Red Carpet Package. And then, and this is the big news, they said they're going to reintroduce some sort of unlimited program that would let people see as many movies as they wanted, although they did not reveal a price for that plan. That's the one I would be interested in because I'm like, you know, if you get the $15 a month Select plan, you could just go to Costco and get their movie passes and not have to worry about, you know, seeing 3 movies a month to make it worth your while. So that doesn't really seem like a compelling plan to me personally. I don't know. What do you think about all this? You're a movie plan subscriber still, aren't you? You're still on the train.
Well, you know, what's funny is just this week I opened up the old app to see, you know, what I could see. And you know what? My amazing movie pass membership has expired quietly. Oh, and
I didn't even know that was possible.
Oh, would you like to re-sign up? And I just if there had been like a screw you button, I would have pressed it. Because I have never in my life seen such a ridiculous way to run a service, you know? the last 20 times I went to go, you know, see what movie I could see, there's like one movie showing at 2 theaters or something like that. It just became completely useless to me the last several months of my quote-unquote membership in this horrible program. And, you know, half the time I would open it up and be like, oh, yeah, you can see this movie in Berkeley, which is...
At 6 a.m.
Yeah, you know, across the bridge. Yeah, okay, I'll drive for an hour to go see a movie I don't even want to see at a theater I've never been to when there's 10 theaters within, you know... Not quite walking distance in my house, but, you know, 5-minute drive. And I don't know, man. I just got so enraged by MoviePass. I actually was considering writing to Costco, where I bought the thing from, and demanding they give me my money back. Because
you bought the year membership,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah.
See, and that's... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it just became a complete and utter joke.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why I always resisted getting the year pass from them because I just never knew what they were going to do. And then they started changing their business terms of service. Every week it seemed like they had a new cockamamie scheme to make themselves actually solvent. And I got off the train once I realized, okay, this is getting to be too limiting. It just doesn't seem worth it. But if you had done the Costco thing, I probably would have asked for a refund. You were probably safe if you got it from Costco. Because Costco would just refund you the money. They don't want to get a bad name on MoviePass's behalf.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I just should have done it. But, you know, I mean...
It's not too late. It's not too late, Lewis.
Yeah, maybe.
Go in there and demand your $100 back. And say, these jerk-offs at MoviePass, they jerked me around and I don't like it.
I really did feel abused. I mean, it's almost like I couldn't even believe that it was actually legal for them to change the terms of service on something like that so radically. You know, from saying, oh, just a certain number a month or whatever to really becoming just useless. I mean, half the time I would open the app and be like, sorry, there are no movies in your area left today.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, well, what do I have you for? What part of this am I not understanding? I guess I'm not understanding the part where I'm a sucker.
Yeah, we have your money now, and you know, screw you, you, pal. We got your money. That's the part you weren't understanding. And if you want to see a movie, go watch Netflix.
Right. Well, I mean, I actually sort of feel a little bit sorry for them. They sent some email like from their CEO or something. It had like a they sent something with like a dog or a squirrel in it or something. I was like,
The
craziest. I was like, man, this guy has lost his mind. I think I even forwarded it to you. I don't know if you got. I think you. Had maybe
I did see it.
Stopped at some point. It was like,
God. Well, you know what really made me feel bad for them is when I heard a knock at my door and I opened it and it was the CEO and he was selling magazine subscriptions. He's like, do you want a subscription to Sports Illustrated? Hi, I'm here for MoviePass. Would you like a subscription to Sports Illustrated? And I was like, oh, I recognize you from the emails. Now you get off my property before I release the hound.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's what it was. It was a dog. I just a picture of a poodle with a MoviePass like bandana around its neck, and it says, "Woof, I'm Chloe, the director of marketing at MoviePass. I'd like to explain why from time to time you may have had a rough experience with us, but it turns out that I'm a dog and I can't talk. What I do know is that I see these humans working like crazy to make MoviePass better and better for you as fast as possible. They are so grateful for your membership and support while they work it out. We're listening, we're learning, we're changing." God, really? Did a crazy person walk into their email service and send that out? I guess it earned a little bit of compassion for me because I'm like, my God, these guys are totally.
You actually started to pity them.
I did. It did turn me around the corner to pity, from hatred to pity.
That's kind of how I felt too. And then when they were sending me emails to buy T-Mobile. And buy MoviePass t-shirts. I mean, that was like their business model for a month, for a while. They're just going to sell MoviePass t-shirts. And I was like, these guys don't know what's going on. I'm actually starting to feel bad for them. You know, it's all right. Well, we're bumming everyone out. So, I mean, the point is, don't buy MoviePass for a whole year. Let's wait and see what they do for their new plans. Maybe they are going to bring it back. I think they still got some magic left. And it's possible they could bring this back and resurrect it. But Let's go ahead and wrap it up there, Lewis. What do you say?
Sure.
Next week, we gotta get L. Caney back, so things are gonna be wild and fun again next week. And I also wanna mention that I dropped a very, very good video, if I do say so myself, reviewing a new podcasting product from Rode Microphones. It's on my YouTube channel. Very cool, unique product. If you're interested in podcasting, I think you need to see this video. I'll include a link in the show notes that you can go check that out. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the podcast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come say hi to us on Twitter, I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the podcast, the best 30-minute plus Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the podcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys next time. Dude, I forgot to tell you. I was doing some service at the soup kitchen. And the MoviePass CEO was there. And I was like, oh, no way. Are you here to serve people at the soup kitchen, too? And he's like, serve? And then he held out his bowl. And I was like, oh. Sorry. Sorry, dude. What's new?
Not a whole hell of a lot. Oh, this is new. I just opened up the input volume and it didn't switch all the way to 100%.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds very nicely balanced.
It's exciting.
That's all you got? Nothing else new?
It's kind of sad, isn't it?
No exciting Cult of Mac news or gossip? Any gossip you want to share?
God, I just got nothing, man. Got nothing? Leander's back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. Sorry. My sympathies.
I still haven't. I haven't actually seen him face to face yet.
Was he just
sent him a message in Slack, and he's you know, it's all snoozed. He never gets back to me. Next thing you know, I see the alarm system goes off at the office. It's an intrusion. I go and I look at the video. Sure enough, it's him. I think he's walking around in a jet-lagged haze.
So things are getting back to normal is what you're telling me.
Yeah, right back in the pocket.
He's not showing up to work. He doesn't even know how to turn off the alarm system. The police shows up. They think somebody with Tourette's is broken in.
It's so funny, like, watching the video, you know, and there you see Leander poke his head in, and you hear the alarm go off, and you see him instantly back out of the room and shut the door.
I just leave and go home.